is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The U.S. wants Liberian President Charles Taylor to leave quickly, but in a way that avoids chaos and enhances stability. That's how State Department spokesman Richard Boucher put the delicate situation in the West African nation. President Bush is still thinking about whether to deploy peacekeeping troops there. Boucher notes that U.S. assessment teams are now on the ground in Liberia.
Our participation will be worked out with the West Africans and with the United Nations. But I have to point out, the assessment teams are there now. But decisions on the exact form of our participation and support are not yet made, and the president's not yet decided to authorize U.S. military forces.
Tomorrow is President Bush's first full day of a week-long trip to the African continent. Liberia is not on Bush's schedule. President Charles Taylor, an indicted war criminal, has accepted an exile offer from Nigeria. Liberia has been racked by a civil war spanning more than a dozen years. An American military team flew by helicopter into Liberia's capital today. The team touched down at the heavily guarded U.S. Embassy compound in Monrovia. Troops slept out wearing helmets and flak jackets. United States Ambassador John Blaney says the situation in Liberia is very serious.
We'll be taking the team around to see various places where displaced persons and refugees are and what their needs are and what their situation is.
They are on a mission to see how best to bring stability to the embattled West African country. The 20-member humanitarian assistance survey team is seen as a possible step in the direction of a larger force as the U.S. debates whether to send peacekeepers into the country, which has been torn by nearly 14 years of violence.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you'll burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The man who starred on TV's Beverly Hillbillies and Barnaby Jones has died. Actor Buddy Ebsen was born Christian Rudolph Ebsen Jr. in Belleville, Illinois on April 2, 1908. Early plans had him studying medicine, but in 1928 he left for New York to become a dancer. After being on stage in vaudeville with his sister Vilma, he made his movie debut in Broadway Melody of 1936 from MGM. He was to play the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz, but became ill after inhaling the aluminum powder used as part of his makeup and was replaced in the role by Jack Haley. From 1962 to 1971, he played Jed Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies and became a TV star in his mid-50s. He later went on to star as folksy private eye Barnaby Jones.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Surgeons in Singapore attempting to separate conjoined twin sisters have run into some trouble. A risky bypass has led to unstable blood circulation between the 29-year-old Iranian women. As a result, a hospital spokesman says the entire operation could take much longer than expected. Laleh and Ladan Bajani are joined at the head but have separate brains. Doctors began the first part of the potentially fatal operation yesterday by opening their skulls. That process took 6 hours because their bones were thick and compact. Surgeons are now in the midst of a second stage, which involves the severing of blood vessels and veins in their brains, which could take as long as 10 hours. Investors returned from the long holiday weekend in the buying mood today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average soared 146 points and finished at 92.16. The Nasdaq was up 57 points to 17.21. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 10.04. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
And good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us on this, the 7th of July, 2003. Did you have a good 4th of July weekend? Huh? Did you have fun? We went to the fireworks over here in Decatur, Georgia. Set behind the old courthouse near the gazebo where the band played patriotic music and some ABBA. Had a great time. Had part of a communal cookout with half the citizens of Decatur, Georgia. Sat around with a bunch of friends. Hope you had a safe and fun Independence Day. MSNBC viewers can celebrate their independence from the execrable. How do you say that word again? I can't say it. Oh, God. Too long a weekend. I can't say polysyllabic words when I just get back to work. Anyway, the useless, worthless, vile Michael Savage was fired from MSNBC because of on-air anti-gay remarks. They weren't anti-gay. They were just sleazy, filthy, snotty, nasty remarks. I believe it was his 15th show. Hello, MSNBC. What? You had to wait 4 months to figure out the guy was a piece of human refuse? Then you fire? Oh, God. Anyway. Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you'd like to check in via telephone tonight, 800-825-5937. 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Visit the website, MikeMalloy.com. Our webmaster, Mark Marshall, has just about got it completed. So go register. Get on board. Have fun. Right? Over the weekend, got an email from a Canadian listener, Olivier Jarvis. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but Olivier, thanks for writing. Hey, Mike. I'm kind of disappointed you didn't think to mention Canada on July 1st. That's Canada Day. I have a dozen friends here in Ottawa who love your show and listen regularly, 3 more in Montreal, and no doubt many more throughout the country. I understand that you gear your show exclusively to an American audience, but as things go straight to hell in the U.S., I would think decent liberals around the world would bring up the Canadian example every chance they can get. For the sake of hope, just take a look. Our infrastructure is doing great. Gays are allowed to marry. Marijuana users aren't subjected to insane witch hunts. Health care is free for all. The separation of church and state has never been clearer. Two-thirds of our population hates Bush, and our government has consistently said no to an American takeover of Iraq. Why should any of this matter to you? Because we, too, are doing this despite intense pressure from Washington. We, too, are subject to economic blackmail and threats from oil moguls and political thugs. We, too, feel that we are the minority, which in the North American context is more than obviously true. Canadians are not keeping a blind eye to what is going on in your country. We know. But despite SARS, mad cow, West Nile, and monkeypox, our economy is leaps and bounds ahead of America's, can you say surplus? And our population has never been so solidly progressive. You should note in solidarity that Canada's reaction to the rise of fascism in America has been to cling even more aggressively to the values we have traditionally cherished. Tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, equal rights, diplomacy, internationalism, nonviolence, freedom, real freedom, not Bush-style freedom in a jail cell, and progress. Those who denounce your president as the destructive force that he is are not fringe elements here. They are the majority, and by far. So, while you rant on about the dismal state of American politics, why don't you take a minute and inspire your listeners with Canada's example. Despite all its warts and faults, Canada has proven to the world that a just society, or at the very least, a less brutal one, is always within humanity's grasp. You have allies here as adamant as any you could find in Georgia. Olivier Jarvis, Ottawa, Ontario. Well, thank you, Olivier. That was, they sent me a couple of links. The Boston Globe had a nice piece on Canada Day, July 1st. About our neighbor to the north. None of us really know. You know, Canada Day is my birthday, for God's sake. But none of us know. We don't know anything about Canada. We really don't. We share the largest common, or the longest common border of any two countries on the planet. And other than a few dust-ups over the centuries, we never had any problems, Canadians and Americans. But I'll post the link from the Boston. It's from the Boston Boston Globe on July 1st about Canada Day and about some of the nice things about Canada. But the writer, Olivier, who sent this, is absolutely right. You and I really don't pay that much attention, do we, to Canada? And here's this great country just north of us. I mean, think for a moment. Think of the now. Yes, with the Quebec separatist movement back in the 60s, 70s, there was some violence. There was some exploding mailboxes. There was some hell acts of terror. It's my understanding that the Canadians and of both English and French persuasion have worked it out. But you and I don't pay any attention, we Americans. We pay no attention whatsoever. If you're in Detroit or Buffalo or so many cities, Canada is just like, seriously, you could damn near throw a ball across the Detroit River, couldn't you? We don't know anything about Canada. Not like we should. We don't. Maybe it's because there's no such thing as a Canadian restaurant. You know, we know things about Mexico because we have Mexican restaurants, right? But there's no Canadian restaurants, right? What would Canadian restaurant? What's Canadian food? I mean, I honestly don't. I guess it'd be French, a strong French influence, probably a very strong English influence, which means a lot of potatoes. No, don't start, Malloy. Don't start. I don't know. Maybe English cuisine is wonderful. I have no idea. They're into gravy a lot, aren't they, Gabby? The English, not the Canadian. I don't know. I really don't. I have been in Canada 6,000 times. But usually when I'm in Canada, I eat at a Thai restaurant. You know, so I don't know. I guess Canadians do too, right? But anyway, just a salute to our Canadian neighbors, really. We Americans take the how many Canadians are there? What's the population of the country? 20, 25 million, something like that? 30 million? We just totally take them for granted, don't we? Absolutely take them for granted. Well, bless you all, in Canada, and happy Canadian, happy Canada Day, happy Canada today. Black folks that live in Canada, do they call them African Canadians? Aren't we about the only company that a country that hyphenates people? I mean, do you, for example, I'm going to pick on black people. Blacks that move to France, are they called African French? African? Is there such a thing as an Afro-Canadian? We're the only country that does that, don't we? We don't know anything about Canada. Did they have slavery? Did they have slavery? My producer doesn't know. You have the college degree, and you don't know either, huh? See, we know nothing about Canada. Anyway, Olivier, thanks for the nice letter, and thanks for the support from folks in Canada. We don't know anything about Canada, do we? One of our regular correspondents, Marge, in Maryville, Indiana, sent me a couple of newspaper clippings. There's a company called Magna Quench. I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's a little company in Valparaiso, Indiana, under 100 workers, and Bush is going to allow the company to close down. Bush. See, Bush has the power to stop it, and I'll tell you why in a second. Between 60 and 65 workers will lose their jobs 2 months from now under the company's Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act filing. I bet you didn't even know that act existed. I damn sure didn't. The company wants to move its production facility to China because labor costs there are, what, a 20th, a 50th, a 100th of what labor costs are for these families that have been working for this company in Valparaiso, Indiana, for the past, oh, God knows how long, 20, 30 years? Now, the company, Magna Quench, has been involved in various manufacturing ventures over the course of its history. The most latest is that it makes what are called rare earth magnets. These are very important electromagnetic devices that are used in so-called smart bombs. Call them homing devices or guidance devices. These are made at the Valparaiso, Indiana factory. Now, if you are totally anti-war, you say good riddance. People in Valparaiso shouldn't be making weapons of mass destruction and death. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is this company has done various things over its history. Now it is doing this, but it's decided to move. You're way ahead of me, aren't you? Yeah, they're moving this top-secret military facility to China. Now, this is where the Bush administration, needs to give its permission. What do you suppose is going to happen here? Uh-huh. The director of the local union, representing a lot of these workers up there, said, "It's a shame that a company that creates products that are used in our most sophisticated weaponry is choosing to move that facility to a communist country." The labor spokesman said, "It's absolutely a dereliction of duty." Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? Now, the only one who can stop this is George Bush. Through a presidential directive or whatever, or some order his labor department or his import-export department or whatever the hell it is. But it's up to Bush now. Do you think that George Bush will say to this little company, no, you can't cut your labor costs by 95% by moving to China? Of course not. Of course he'll let it go through. So a little company in Valparaiso, Indiana, that makes magnets used in the guidance and directional mechanisms of smart bombs is moving to China.
I saw the boss come a-walking down along the factory line, saying, boys, we have to tighten up our belts. But he didn't look any thinner than he did a year ago. And I wonder just how hungry that man felt. He knows it ain't hard to get along with somebody else's troubles. They don't make him lose. sleep at night. Just as long as fate is out there busting somebody else.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
If jobs are the most important part of one of my jobs, how do we encourage people to hire more people?
Send the factories to China? That'll work. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon, our bureau chief there. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, so, that floater on MSNBC, you know, known as the Sewage Nation, surprise or surprise, after 4 months, Michael Sewage got fired from MSNBC, which is a wonderful thing. but
yeah, but he's still on 300 radio stations.
Yeah, and I was going to get around to that.
Okay.
And Michael Sewage is on over 300 radio stations. I believe there's a room on radio even for right wing fascist scumbags like that. They just shouldn't be on that many radio stations at the expense of shows like this.
I think we're on 7 or 8.
Oh, boy. Well, you know better than me, so. I don't know what to say about that. But, still people should keep it up with get in touch with the people at michaelsavagesucks.com and Savage Stupidity and keep up the boycott of MSNBC, because they went ahead and fired Michael Sewage, that ain't nearly good enough for me, because, these idiots, they went ahead and fired Phil Donahue, an all-time television icon, in favor of that idiot Michael Sewage, and Joe Scarborough, there ought to be an apology. They ought to put Phil Donahue back on the air. Why not give a Nader or Jim Hightower or somebody halfway decent a show, and let's get some balance on the airwaves for once.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Joe, thanks for checking in, pal. What happened, of course you all know this, Savage referred to an unidentified caller to his TV show on Saturday as a sodomite and said he should get AIDS and die. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice from an adult? I hope you get AIDS and die. Now, what had the guy said, the caller? The caller, nothing. He just, Savage pushed him to see, or Michael Weiner pushed him to see if he was gay, and the guy said he was. And Savage says, so you're one of those sodomists? Are you a sodomite? And the caller replied, yes, I am. And Savage said, oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that? Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage. You have got nothing to do today. Go eat a sausage and choke on it. That's MSNBC's Saturday afternoon programming. Or that's what it was. He asked for another phone caller who, in Savage's words, didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse, who's angry at me today. And then he added, these bums mean nothing to me. Now, the guy, if there would have been an argument or something, fair is fair. Somebody calls you a son of a bitch, call him a son of a bitch back, right? But that didn't happen. There was an exchange, where the caller somehow identified himself as gay, and Savage said, oh, you're a sodomite or a sodomist or whatever. And then he said, you should get AIDS and die, you pig. Good God. But he's still on 300 radio stations, and this program is on probably 7 or 8. A spokesman for GLAAD. Do you know what GLAAD is? Of course you do. A spokesman for the organization, GLAAD, said the latest attack made the clearest case for why Savage has no place on any reputable network. MSNBC witnessed firsthand exactly the kind of verbal assaults GLAAD's been warning them about for the past 5 months. And to their credit, MSNBC backed up their promise to hold Savage accountable. Yeah, good for MSNBC. They held Savage accountable. Aren't they great?
I dream that it won't always be the same.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Department of Energy plans to build a new facility for the production of plutonium cores for nuclear weapons, but critics charge that the weapons of mass destruction would pose a threat not only to those countries that U.S. missiles are aimed at, but also to the workers who would build the nuclear bombs.
Workers during the Cold War are getting cancers in the 80s and 90s and still dying from cancer.
Dr. Arjun Makajani is president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He points to a figure in the facility's draft environmental impact statement, which states there would be 0.22 cancer fatalities per year at peak levels of production.
0.22 cancer fatalities per year means one every 4.5 years. It doesn't mean that after 4.5 years somebody will die. It means that there will have been enough radiation doses that over a long period of time, you know, with cancer latency periods, that the cancer may not develop for 10 or 20 years.
Dr. Makajani says those figures mean 9 workers would die of radiation-induced cancer over the projected 40-year operation of the plant. The Department of Energy will be accepting public comment on the proposal through August 5th.
Thousands of South African asbestos miners, many of whom are now dying because of their exposure in the workplace, were supposed to share in a $35 million settlement from 2 mining companies who didn't provide the workers with proper breathing protection equipment. But now the largest of the 2 asbestos companies is threatening bankruptcy and says it can't pay. In response, a judge has reduced the settlement award by 2/3, meaning that each sick miner will get about $1,600 instead of the $4,600 they'd been promised. More than 700 of them have died since the case began 4 years ago. The next of kin will get those payments instead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we're at 800 Talk Yes, if you want to join in. The death toll of American soldiers continues to go up in Iraq. How many were killed over the 4th of July weekend? 3, Kathy? 5? And since Too Stupid to Be President did his photo op on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln back on May 1st, American soldiers are facing an average of 13 ambushes and attacks per day. Now, so far, 70 Americans have died. Here's what's interesting. 30 of those deaths are from enemy fire. 40 Americans have died in Iraq as not as a result of hostile fire. What does that say? Now, again, I've never been in a war zone. Maybe some of you guys who have, or you gals who have, can explain this. Is it normal for the death toll in a war zone, for the death toll from accidents to be higher than the death toll from actual combat? 70 Americans have died since Bush did his little jig around the aircraft carrier, With his mission accomplished signs, 70 Americans have died, 30 from enemy fire, 40 from what? What kind of a command and control structure do we have? What sort of platoon leaders, what sort of sergeants, of non-coms do we have that allow 40 Americans to die, not as a result of enemy fire? Isn't that an unusually high ratio? 40 soldiers dead, not as a result of enemy fire, 30 dead as a result of. But the bottom line is all 70 of these soldiers are dead. All 70 dead since Bush did his jig on the deck of the aircraft carrier. And the hell of this is, in about a year from now, that video footage will be chopped into political commercials. And there George will be playing Top Gun, the coward who hid in Alabama, couldn't even stick around in his Texas Air National Guard unit, went to hide in Alabama, while men far greater than he, both American and Vietnamese, in addition to Australians, Cambodians, Laotians, died in Southeast Asia. But that number, 70 dead Americans since Bush pranced around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, 40 of them from non-hostile causes. Maybe Charles can help us out here. Charles, what's up with these numbers? Can you give us an idea?
Well, Mike, I was out on the net today and I was reading some information, and I understand that a great part of that, those fatalities are from GIs and vehicles who are driving much faster than they should be driving because they're trying to get to cover.
Because they're trying to get to cover?
Right.
They're under fire when the accidents occur?
Yes.
Or they think they may be?
It may be, and actually under fire. What I learned today was that what we are hearing is the tip of the iceberg.
Really?
That it is, it's a war zone over there, literally, that if we hear about two or three fatalities, that you may have 30 or 40 incidents that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got GIs who are in these Humvees, which, you know, these Humvees, you're really just sitting ducks. And they're driving around in the city, and instead of driving like 35 miles an hour, they're driving 60, 70.
Mm-hmm.
To try to get out of the way.
Well, I again, these numbers, these ratios of our dead, 40 from non-hostile, 30 from hostile or from enemy fire, that just seems extraordinarily skewed. That how could we have 40 dead soldiers from non-hostile causes and 30 from hostile causes in the course of 9 weeks. I mean, I don't understand. Maybe again, maybe somebody who's been in a combat zone can explain that to us. But I appreciate that explanation. I guess that kind of makes sense, Charles.
Right. And the other thing, Mike, you know, the radio is so devoid of anything sensible today. I just went out to listen today to what right-wingers were talking about.
Yeah.
And I listened to a little bit of Rush and this idiot Mike Gallagher.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Gallagher was talking about some cyclist that got hit by a car. Rush was talking about preemptive strikes were the answers and not more money being spent on first responders. And that just told me how bad things are going in Iraq when they won't touch it.
Wouldn't you like to see somebody suit the pig man, old Rush, up, put him, arm him with all the latest technology, give him all the equipment that a frontline U.S. soldier now has, and put that useless human being on the streets of Fallujah or Baghdad, Rush, put him out there, and let's see what he can do.
Well, maybe he'll use Tommy Frank's line now, bring him on.
Bring him, right, right, right. Yeah, Tommy Frank, today, well, he retired today, I think.
Right.
And he was backing up his boss, his ex-boss now, George Bush. I don't see anything wrong with saying bring him on. Yeah, bring him on. Yeah, yeah, bring him on. Well, I'd like to see Limbaugh and just give Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity and give these guys a weapon. Suit them up, give them all the protective gear they need, give them all the defensive gear and offensive gear they can lug around, stick them out there in a 50 degrees Celsius heat, you know, 125, 128 degrees, and just say, okay, now go. Go do a preemptive strike. You see that house over there? See that mosque over there? There's a whole bunch of terrorists in there, Rush. Go over there and take them out, dude.
And Mike, have you seen this idiot who is on MSNBC? He's a sergeant major. I can't think of his name. He's their expert. Mm. And he was saying that one of the problems that we were having in Iraq is that, hey, we got 18, 19-year-old guys over there, you know. And, you know, they're not just alert enough.
Just not alert enough. Yeah, that's great. That's really great. Great, great stuff coming from a sergeant major, you know, the top of the food chain for the non-coms, and the sergeant major certainly should be in touch with the grunts. So his attitude is they're just, they're what? They're just not...
They're young boys, and, you know, sometimes they just are not attentive enough.
Well, that's true. Let's start building a military around people who are 35 years old and up. That'd be better, wouldn't it? You, on the assumption that a 35-year-old or a 40-year-old or a 50 or a 55-year-old could think more clearly than a 19-year-old, may not have the physical stamina, but might be able to think more clearly. Of course, a 35 or a 40 or 45-year-old would no more go to war unless his or her country was attacked than fly to the moon. You know, the average 40-year-old would say, "What? You crazy? I got bills to pay. I got things to do. I got kids to raise. I got fun to have." 19-year-old will still say, "Yeah, give me a gun. I'll kill some of a bitch. Where is he?" You know, and then they go over there and get killed in a car wreck. That makes a lot of sense, huh? Charles, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Killed in a car wreck. How did your son die, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? Well, he was defending freedom in Iraq. Oh, really? What, in a firefight or taking a... he had an objective that he and his platoon took? No, well, no, actually, he was driving down the street and hit a light pole. Oh, yeah. Brian is calling from Aurora, Illinois. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I heard you losing your shirt the other day about those DNC guys making the comparison to the McGovern campaign.
Oh, yeah.
And I was with you to a point, and then I remembered, you remember the Hunter S. Thompson book, Campaign Trail 72?
Fear and Loathing on, yeah.
Which, to me, is one of the best books I ever read.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very well read, by the way. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
sure.
But if we remember that campaign, and it's so parallel to the times we have right now with mm-hmm. the monster on the throne, but that campaign was a masterpiece up to the point of the Eagleton affair, you know?
Right, right.
So instead of, I mean, you know, as people try to spin this one way or the other, I would say, please God, yes, let it be another McGovern, you know?
You're saying had it not been for the revelation about Eagleton having gotten a electroconvulsive therapy that McGovern might have won?
I believe so. I mean,
really?
I was 2 years old at the time. just from what I've been able to absorb, you know.
You were 2 years old?
Well, you were probably there. What was it like?
Oh, man, I was there.
It was completely hopeless.
Oh, it was utterly unbelievable. I mean, to think that a killer, a megalomaniac, a drunk, a thug like George Bush, or I'm sorry, they're interchangeable, Dick Nixon,
yeah,
with a staff like Ehrlichman and Haldeman and Kissinger and
Nixon's nuts.
Oh my God, to think that he could get reelected in a landslide. The American public was running around, Nixon's the one, Nixon's the one. Mm. That was more true than they could possibly understand at the time, but that was the campaign slogan in 72. Nixon's the one. And McGovern was trying to make the point that the Watergate affair, so-called, was much greater than what the American public was willing to acknowledge at the time. And nobody paid any attention. We are the stupidest people on the planet. I mean, come on. We've said this a million times.
Sure.
We are politically naive, terribly unsophisticated politically. And we are the product of advertising campaigns. That's how products are sold to us, television commercials. And when you sell political candidates with television commercials, it's going to be the same thing as when you sell toothbrush or toilet bowl cleaner. It's just a product. It's just a product. So Nixon was sold. Bush will be sold. And the parallels, I think, are going to be even more surprising than we might be willing to recognize here in July of 2003.
Yeah, but the, what do you call it, the error of magnitude? Magnitude of...
Well, yeah, there's
degree
that.
Degree of magnitude is like 1,000, you know.
There's that, but when you take a look at the mass slaughter that Nixon and Kissinger oversaw where it concerned Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam, and compare it to the mass slaughter in Afghanistan and Iraq, Nixon and Kissinger still win.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. There were hundreds of thousands of people slaughtered in these secret wars, the bombings of Cambodia and Laos and Thailand, and it was unbelievable stuff. We also had back in 72 the CIA operating against civil liberties groups in the United States, infiltrating a spying in violation of not only the CIA's own charter, but the imprimatur of Congress and the Constitution. So the comparisons are very, very similar, probably more so than most of us are willing to acknowledge right now. But here's the fly in the ointment.
Yeah.
If the comparisons are very similar, that means, if you want to go this way, Bush is going to be reelected. Nixon was reelected. Nixon was reelected after lying to the American public that he had a secret a plan to end the war in Vietnam.
Oh, that's true.
It was just sick. I even back in 72, I can remember thinking, we've gone insane in this country. We've just gone insane. And then when Nixon resigned and Ford stepped in, it was like, now what's going to happen? And then when Carter got elected, it was almost like, okay, we're going to tilt back away from the abyss here.
Yeah.
And then we had 12 years of Reagan-Bush.
God, that's what I grew up in.
Right.
No wonder I'm such a mess.
That could be. That very well could be. But if the comparisons between 72 and 2004 hold, we've got four more years. Well, we've got a Bush re-election. He won't last the whole 8 years or the whole 4 years because Nixon didn't. But the difference was, of course, we had a Congress and we had a media back in 72 that was willing to expose Nixon for the thug, the true thug that he was.
Yeah.
We had a media that kept hounding him, exposing him, and we had members of his own party who had the courage to say, you know what, Dick, you better get out of Dodge or your ass is going down.
Yeah.
His own party told him that. So,
wow.
And we don't have that anymore.
No, we've got it as you, man.
I don't think so. Hey, Brian, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, take it easy.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. We used to have a Republican Party. We used to have a Democratic Party instead of two corporatist parties, one of which is more fascist than the other. But we did. We, honest to God, did. For those of you under the age of 30, or under the age of 40, you really probably don't realize this. But there was a time. There was a time in this country. They were still corrupt. Sure, the Democrats and the Republicans were still corrupt, but they were not totally corrupt. You understand what I mean? And there were still were differences, and there was still honor among thieves. There was still a bit of political decency and honesty among certain Republicans, among certain Democrats. There really, really was. And in addition, when they saw that the structure was being challenged to such a degree that it would bring down the entire House of Cards, which meant it would bring down all their perks and would expose the filthy underside of politics. That's when they decide, look, we got to get rid of Nixon. Nixon's out of control. Nixon is such a thug that he's going to allow too many rocks to be turned up. Too many maggots are going to be squirming away from the daylight, and the American public is going to get hip to the game. We got to get rid of him. So if that's honor, if that's, you know, I seem to be contradicting myself here, which is not unusual, but if that is honor in the old Republican Party, if that is honor in the old Democratic Party, so be it. If that's what the definition was 31 years ago, that these people could see, you know, the elders of the Republican Party, the elders of the Democratic Party could see that Nixon was about to bring too much light to the underbelly of politics, so they told him to get the hell out of town. And he did.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but Bush now says he came from Texas to Washington. And he wants to fight with many, and he says it's not for oil. He sent out the National Guard to police the room from Baghdad to Washington.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. It is indeed. Boy, it's a slow Monday night, isn't it? I keep looking outside thinking it's time to go over to the courthouse and watch the fireworks. Not too slow, though, for Judy. Judy's calling from Lake Zurich, Illinois. Hey, Judy.
Hi.
How are you?
I was just looking at the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
And it says that as feds cut rates, retirees are forced to pinch pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know the children were left behind, and they had no vote. But these seniors voted for Bush, and now this has, they're voting for him, and putting him in office has come back to bite them.
Yeah. And your point is?
Well.
isn't it true?
Seniors were his biggest supporters, and he has left them behind, and they voted for him.
But isn't it true that just about any group, if you look at groups of people whose members voted for Bush, if they were union members, if they were school teachers, if they were retirees, if they were military, if they were small business people, any group whose members voted for George W. Bush, have they not been screwed by him?
Right. But I guess they thought they were sort of immune, and they took for granted their social contract in this country. They just assumed everything would be given to them no matter who they put in office. They didn't believe Democrats when they told them about losing their benefits, et cetera, and their health care.
Right.
Because George Bush was compassionate.
Right, compassionate conservative, right. Right, which is a contradiction.
It has come back to bite them.
Well, but
they are some of the wealthiest Americans, you know.
Yeah, and I think because of that, they're probably not going to rise up and revolt against this thug by voting against him in 2004. Bush has stabbed in the back every single group that he said he would support. And he continues to do it on a daily basis. But for some reason, the American public, I don't know, maybe we've become masochistic, but we seem to love it. You know, may we have some more, sir? Will you strike us again?
I have a feeling that they just think it's always been there and it will be there. Aren't they paying attention? I mean, they are retired.
Yeah. You'd think.
Okay.
Judy, good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking in. Every single group. I issue the challenge. I issue on this program two or three times a month. If you are conservative or Republican, if you voted for Bush, if you'd like to call the program and tell us one thing that George Bush has done to benefit this country, we certainly would like to hear from you. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The U.S. government wants the Iraqi people to understand that Saddam Hussein is not going to return. State Department spokesman Richard Boucher says the lingering question over whether Saddam is dead or alive continues to affect attitudes in the Iraqi population.
And therefore, it's important to demonstrate to the Iraqi people that he's not coming back. We know he's not coming back. I think the Iraqi people need to know that as well.
The U.S. has posted a $25 million reward for Saddam and a $15 million reward for his two adult sons. A top union official in Nigeria said 10 protesters were killed by police today as a general strike over fuel prices entered its second week. Police denied the killings, which reportedly happened in Lagos, a city of 13 million people. Protesters there blocked major roads and set piles of tires on fire while chanting slogans criticizing Nigeria's president. Mobs in Uyo, a city in the country's southeastern region, burned cars and looted shops and homes. The strike was triggered last month when Nigeria's president announced a hike in gas prices of more than 50%. He claimed the raise was essential for the country's economy to reduce subsidies on imported refined fuel. President Bush is expected to visit Nigeria in a matter of days. So far, the strike hasn't threatened the visit.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Thousands of people ran through the streets of Pamplona, Spain, in the traditional running of the bulls. No one was gored in the first of 8 bull runs to be conducted over the next week to celebrate the annual festival of San Fermin. Joe Disler from New York has run with the bulls over 300 times in the past 34 years. Despite past injuries, he plans to continue doing it.
I was gored in 1992 by a Sabato Gagos bull, and 2 years later I got arthritis in my hip. And as a result, I had to get a new hip. I also knocked my tooth out, and I took a horn 1 year in my back. But I've been running every day, so 3 times, it's not a lot in all those years.
The International Red Cross treated 39 people, most with cuts and bruises. 2 were transported to a hospital with light head and chest injuries. Thousands of people watched from balconies or from behind barriers to watch the throng of thrill-seekers sprinting through the narrow streets just ahead of the bulls. The running of the bulls dates back to the 16th century, when it was the most practical way to get the bulls to the bull ring for afternoon bullfights.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Eagle County DA Mark Hulbert has some high-profile work on today's to-do list. Namely, he's expected to review reports in connection with last week's arrest of Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant. A woman accused Bryant of sexual assault last Tuesday in a hotel near Vail in Colorado and filed a report on Wednesday. He turned himself into Eagle County Sheriff's deputies on Friday and was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault. Bryant is out of jail after posting a $25,000 bail. According to Hurlburt's office, if there is sufficient evidence, formal charges could be filed this week. The Eagle County Sheriff's Office will discuss the case with reporters this afternoon. Investors were in a buying mood as they returned from the long holiday weekend. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 146 points to 92.16. The NASDAQ was up 57 points to 17.21. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 10.04. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Oh, I didn't mention it. We are starting tonight our three-day rule. God, don't you hate that? This program has just been just open anarchy. But in most talk radio, you do have that. And simply what it means, if you call tonight, we kind of fudge a little bit. If you call tonight, you can call again on Wednesday, which seems like it's only 2 days. But think about it, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. See, that's how we do it. So we have decided to apply this three-day rule to give folks who sometimes want to make a comment, but they can't get through because the lines are jammed, because the folks who call regularly, and bless your hearts. I mean, that's what makes the program. It sure as hell isn't me. It's the people who call in. I mean, I do my part, but it's the people that call in. So we've started this three-day rule. So if you have spoken on the program tonight, the next time you'll be eligible to speak on the program will be Wednesday. And then the time after that will be Friday. You see how it works? So it's like on the honor basis. We don't have any devices on the phone to track your call. We just kind of expect you to follow that rule, okay? And if it doesn't work, well, then to hell with it. We'll get rid of the rule. But we're going to try it anyway. Gives folks a chance. Now, of course, tonight it doesn't even apply because we don't have that many people calling in. But we're going to start it anyway because you know how it gets jammed around here. Dear God, you know, folks will try sometimes to get in. Folks will be holding on for an hour and a half. So let's do it. All right. So Monday, take your best shot. But then you have to wait to Wednesday to call back. Ethan is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Ethan. Ethan. All right. Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm okay, except for the mountain burning down outside of town.
Oh, that's right. You guys are you're in the fire zone.
Yeah, 70,000 acres now, and no sign of stopping.
I wonder if our Montana, of small-town Montana bureau chief is out there. He's a smoke jumper, and I wonder if he's out there fighting your fire. Possibly.
Yeah, I hope so, man.
Yeah.
Listen, I wanted to talk about Liberia a little bit. I mean, this is a growing concern. It's splashed all over the national media now, and what I find most interesting is the way they're spinning it around and trying to elicit sympathy with this sort of outrageous lie that, you know, it was founded by ex-slaves, as if, you know.
Well, no, that's true.
Well, in a sense, but it was also founded by a colonization society whose main purpose was to say, well, we can't have all these freed blacks running around the U.S. Let's find a place for them, which, you know, is obviously still the rhetoric of racists today.
Well, there's some truth to that too. But the Liberian situation is being the way I see it being spun is that this is the Bush crime family trying to make inroads into the terrorism that exists in various countries in Africa, which is nonsense. If they were interested in terrorism, then a checkout in Zimbabwe. Most of these people who claim to be against the terrorism in Africa, who are in the Bush administration now, had no problem with the terrorism instituted by the white government of South Africa against blacks back in the 80s. There was no problem. But here's the catch. You see, Liberia is part of that huge swath of Western Africa that has just God knows how much oil reserves.
Yeah, oil and diamonds.
Yeah, oil and diamonds. So the Bush crime family, being the pukes that they are, it's about terrorism. It's about Charles Taylor. Charles Taylor, just like Saddam Hussein, you got to say this for Bush, they sure know how to pick their enemies, because these guys, there's nothing likable about a Charles Taylor or a Saddam Hussein.
Surely not.
These are just punks, dictators, monsters on the human stage. But we have so many people like that the Bush crime family supports. The quickest one that comes to mind is Burma, Myanmar.
Yeah.
The whole Burmese situation, the Indonesian situation, these are despots and tyrants too.
Yeah, well, we pick them all right. I mean, we use them for as long as they're useful to us, and then as soon as they're not, we can always whip out the, well, these guys are really bad card. And then go in there and have our way with it.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a shame.
My feeling about the Liberian situation is that it should be a trans-African military force that takes care of the problems on its own continent.
Yeah, if Bush were sincere about what he claims, you know, he'd be over there right now promoting some kind of pan-African organization. You know, I think that would be very good for the entire continent if they could get together. And we could, in theory,
absolutely. We could back the government of South Africa. We could. There are several South African governments that have developed stability. And more importantly, they have developed credibility, because they are no longer colonialist governments.
Yeah.
But the Bush crime family is no more interested in that than it is interested in fighting AIDS in Africa, which it is not.
No.
So the idea of white people going to Africa to quell a disorder is too much like it was in the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries when white people came to Africa to destroy and loot and pillage. Only now, instead of slaves and gold, it's oil and diamonds.
You know, they go on about how, well, there's all these people in Liberia that really want us to come. Well, yeah, that's that sort of elite 5 or 10%. Descended from the original colonists who've been holding on to power the whole time.
I would think that in so many black African countries, there is such a desire for a normal life, for liberty, for order, for democratic government. But because black Africa was dominated and exploited and colonized for so many centuries, It was broken into states that made no sense, mm-hmm. where it concerns tribal alliances,
right. Yeah.
Or language,
yeah.
Or customs, or
right.
You know, the states were created to satisfy the European colonial powers, and
exactly.
the destruction that has been done to that continent is just you know, because it's all,
yeah, it's heartrending, man,
and it's criminal because
yeah.
it's dark people, and historically dark people are the ones that take it in the chops. That's
yep.
just the way it goes. Ethan, thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. You know, we were talking earlier in the program, we don't understand Canada, and we should. You know, we share the largest common border with Canada of any two countries in on the planet. But we don't understand Africa at all, do we? Nothing. Except when I was a kid growing up, you know where I got my information about Africa? From the Jungle Jim movies. And the Tarzan movies. But especially Jungle Jim. Do any of y'all remember Jungle Jim? Boy, you got to be a certain age to remember that. This white dude from America bursting out of his chute. Johnny Weissmuller. Well, he played Tarzan. But Jungle Jim was this real... You know, the movies always try to make it look like he was trying to work for the benefit of the tribes. But, you know, where am I going with this? But it was just nonsense. There was Jungle Jim, and there were always these black Africans, man, with the headdresses and the bones in their noses, and they're going to kill. And they always got the white people, part of the white people, a part of the group of white people, and they were tied to stakes in the middle of the village and big fires, and they're getting ready to boil them or something. And then Jungle Jim would come in and, you know, start shooting folks. And there was always bad white people and good white people. But that's how my generation, that's where we got our information about Africa. We, you know, it was like, oh my God, there's savages over there, man. Oh, damn, them people will eat you. Condi Rice at a press briefing last week, talking about her boss, George Bush, since Ethan brought it up. The reporter said, Ms. Rice says, the American public is expecting U.S. troops to go into Liberia. What does it say to the American public that this is the second person that Bush has asked to step down besides Saddam Hussein? I mean, what an asinine question. But here's Rice's answer.
Well, first of all, the president has made no decision on what approach and tactics the United States is going to use to help the United Nations and the regional powers deal with this very difficult situation in Liberia.
What?
That is still under consideration.
What?
But the president calls them as he sees them. there wasn't any doubt that Saddam Hussein was a menace in the region, not to mention a menace to his own people. And Charles Taylor is a menace to its own people.
Ah, yes. We have a president with such moral clarity. This guy is... George Bush has moral clarity like I have working knowledge of ancient Chinese languages. You know, George Bush is amoral. He has no moral center whatsoever, no ethics whatsoever. But here is Auntie Rice saying the president calls them as he sees them. Bring him on. We're going to track him down. We're going to hunt him. I don't know if he's in a cave with a door open or a cave with the door closed, but we're hunting him down one at a time. We're going to bring him to justice. Isn't that, you know, people ask me about how I feel about black people. And, you know, whether or not my administration is working on civil rights, and all I do, I just point over there at Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell. That's what I do. I point to them. What? My two house niggers? No, we don't use that term anymore, sir. I just point to them because anybody who thinks I am not all for civil rights, look at my two Negroes. I'm sorry. Look at my two African. Carl, what do you call them now? God. Well, Condoleezza Rice is right out there. Yeah, he speaks. He tells it like it is. Bring it on. You know, I just say to those Iraqi killers, bring it on. We've got 146,000 Americans over there, and it's going to take an awful lot to kill every one of them. But bring it on. Bring them on. Go ahead. Give it your best shot. I don't care about any one of these people individually. I know how to go hug a mom or hug a wife. I know how to do that. So bring them on. Just bring them on. We got all kinds of Americans I can send over there. Jeez. Stay with us.
And the old ones gathered closer so they could hear better.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
Pleases where the white man does as he pleases.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, healthcare workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
justice and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. Well, that ended rather abruptly. All right, one more here from Condoleezza Rice. Send back to your phone calls on this Liberia situation where Bush has decided to send more Americans, apparently, because of the oil. He's spinning it. The thugs that run this administration say it's about getting rid of another tyrant, Charles Taylor. But please. Terry Moran of ABC had a question for Auntie Condoleezza, and the question was, during the 2000 campaign, the president said he would be judicious in the deployment of troops as he considers this option, one among many, in Liberia. How would he define the national interest there, our national interest? He said, Ms. Rice, during the campaign, that it needs to be in our vital interest for troops to be sent. How would you explain that to the loved ones of the troops who may be sent in harm's way to Liberia?
The president does believe that Liberia and the stability of West Africa is important to U.S. interests. This is a region that is only beginning to make some progress on being more stable. And I think that we've also recognized since 9/11 that one wants to be careful about committing conditions of failed states to create conditions in which there's so much instability that you begin to see greater sources of terrorism, for instance. And so that's one of the issues.
Oh, you know, the hubris there, the audacity, the unmitigated gall for Auntie Condoleezza to say, I think that we've recognized since 9/11 that one wants to be careful about permitting conditions of failed states to create conditions in which there's so much instability. Auntie Condoleezza, how about Afghanistan? How about Iraq? Are those a couple of failed states that create conditions in which there's so much instability that we begin to see greater sources of terrorism? So now you want to create the same instability in Liberia, because we know, Auntie Condoleezza, that Mr. Bush couldn't find Liberia on a map if one of you pointed it out for him. That's A. B, he doesn't give a tinker's damn about Liberia. He thinks Africa is a country. C, it's the oil, Auntie Condoleezza, the oil. But here we go again, playing the terrorism card. You know, a lot of white people say, well, you know, every time there's something comes up, you know, when a white cop shoots a black kid, you know, them blacks, they always play the race card, don't they? They always play the race card, don't they? Well, the Bush administration always plays the terror card. Have you noticed that? Huh? We got to go to Liberia because, well, you know, failed states can produce, well, you know. But wait a second, Auntie Condoleezza. Of the 19 bombers that came to this country and committed mass murder 2 years ago, 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia. That's not a failed state. That's a state run by a family that operate as business partners of the Bushes. Oh, never mind. Let's not bring up facts. Ed is calling from Chicago. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm getting by, pal.
Hey, I'm so angry. I had to call.
All right, let her rip.
Well, yesterday in the Chicago Tribune, and really this article made me cry. I mean, there was like a 3-page spread of all the young men and women that have died.
Ed, can I get you to hold?
Yeah.
Okay. I came to you just as we're going to break. I'll come right back. We have a quick 3-minute break here,
okay,
and then we'll come back and chat. If you're on hold, stick around. Your phone calls when we come back right after Ed. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Keep on your apron, son. You know I ain't gonna let you shoot my big Navy gun. Got my long government letters, my time to go. When I got to the army, found the same old Jim Crow. Uncle Sam says, two camps for black and white. But when trouble starts, we'll all be in that same big fight.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Africa's apes are being driven to extinction. They're being killed and eaten by people. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Populations of African chimpanzees, gorillas, and bonobos are rapidly dwindling in number, and the main reason is likely to surprise you. They're being hunted down for human consumption.
I think it's actually a scandal that people are not more informed about what I consider Africa's greatest conservation crisis. The conservation media has just failed to pick it up. It's too disturbing to publish it.
That's Dale Peterson, author of a new book called Eating Apes. Peterson says people are killing apes to supply bushmeat to the black market. He says hunters gain access to once remote forests on newly cut logging roads.
If there are villains in the story, it's really the loggers. These are ancient forests, and they're just cutting roads right into them and opening them up to the hunters.
Peterson says hunting apes is illegal in Africa, but laws are ignored and enforcement is difficult. He says the world needs to wake up to this crisis, which could wipe out chimpanzees, our closest relatives in the animal world. Peterson says even some hunters admit that chimps display human-like behavior.
If you corner a chimpanzee, he'll start begging for his life, just like a person. You know, he'll have this expression of fear, and he'll face you and hold out his hand in a begging gesture. And I just think, you know, an animal that will beg for his life deserves to have his life.
That kind of anecdote is disturbing, and the photographs in Eating Apes are hard to look at. But Peterson hopes his book helps alert people to the fact that humans are literally consuming Africa's great apes. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Yeah, that's brilliant, you moron. Bring them on. All right, we're talking with Ed in Chicago, who Ed, is it safe to say that you would take offense at what Bush said?
I hate Bush. I think he's a total moron. And I grew up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what? The point I was going to bring up, though, is to see there's like a three-page spread of all the, you know, the faces of the young men and women who have died because this, you know, because of Bush. And as the headline read, they died for our freedom. And I said to one of my coworkers, you know, do you think they died for our freedom? And he looked at me like I was some kind of, you know, treasonous criminal or something. And I said, I can't figure it out. Well, how does this make me free?
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I'm free. As free as I am now, it's nothing to do with what they're doing. And
right.
And my other point is, and this is what I've been reading about, is a lot of the. I'm not blaming our troops because they're decent people, and they're going. They went over there, and they have been told that they were going to free the Iraqi people, and that the you know, they were going. This was revenge for 9/11, but now they're over there. They see the truth.
Right.
They're sitting over there. They're like just human targets. I mean, they got bullseyes painted on their foreheads, and they're writing to their wives, their congressmen. They're saying, "Get us the hell out of here." And so, what I'd like to urge everybody to do is to contact, you know, your congressman, your senator, whatever, and let them know we want to get these guys and gals home where they belong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm very concerned about their well-being. I think this could turn into one big Somalia.
Well, or another example. I hate to go back to the Vietnam example, but another example of the situation that U.S. troops faced in that country after we
right.
had destabilized it and attempted to prevent a legitimate government, albeit communist, from forming. That's what I think about. I don't think Somalia. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying. You got a lot of angry people with AK-47.
Well, that's true, right? That part. You're absolutely.
And let me make just one more point. This
sure.
has to do with the security of our country. We have a professional volunteer army. Now, our professional volunteers, 140,000 of these people who've been lied to. And they're eating sand every day, and they're in 130 degrees in flak jackets. Do you think they're going to re-up?
Probably not.
And then what are we going to need to do to have an army if we don't have people volunteer?
At some point, I think the Bush crime family will attempt to bring back the draft.
The draft. So I'm 45 years old, but when I was a teenager, I grew up in a town very, very near Killeen, Texas, where Fort Hood was.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend's dad ran the USO, so we played pool down there all the time. And I saw those men on their way to Vietnam, and they were scared. And I think young men should be scared, and they need to see where this is going.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Ed, thanks for checking in.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Remember the lies that were told. Well, first of all, let me back up. For the Chicago Tribune to honor the people, the American people who have been killed is one thing. That is admirable, to run an obituary on a young person who died for no reason whatsoever. But to label it as they died for our freedom, that twists the deaths of these young Americans into an obscene gesture of disrespect to them, the dead young Americans, their parents, their families. It's an obscenity. These people did not die for our freedom. They did not die for the Iraqi people's freedom. They died because George, by God, Bush got tired of waiting for inspectors to find non-existent weapons of mass destruction. They died because George, by God, Bush, in his own words, was told to go after Saddam by God. Now, to use the Vietnam model, when you think about the 58,000 dead American GIs, the close to 2 million American soldiers who blew in and blew out of Southeast Asia in that, the longest war in American history, when you think about, don't even think about the 2 million dead Vietnamese. Don't think about the Cambodian deaths. Don't think about the destruction wrought by the Pathet Lao and the Khmer Rouge. And don't even think about that. Just think about the 58,000 dead Americans. Think about the lies that were told about the domino theory. Well, we have to go fight, or the North Vietnamese will take over, and the entire country will become communist. And then the domino effect will take over, and the next thing you know, the communists will take over the Philippines and Japan and God knows where. So here we are, all these decades later, we have no way of knowing how many American citizens who were drafted or volunteered to serve based on the lies in Vietnam, who are now suffering from the effects of Agent Orange, who are suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, who are walking around like Senator Max Cleland, with limbs missing, with part of their minds missing, and Vietnam is unified, and it's communist, and the Philippines are still a right-wing ragtag collection of islands, destabilized since the turn of the last century when we went there and fought the Spanish. It's disgusting. It's sick. What is it about us that we can't take a look at the lies that were told us? And I'm going to use Vietnam because we lost the most men in Vietnam other than World War II and World War I, I think, in the history, well, Civil War. But in a foreign war, most of our deaths after World Wars I and II were Vietnam. Just an absolute killing field, butchery of our people, their people, and for what? For what? Now, what we were told back in the mid to late 60s and into the early 70s, what we were told and what was really happening on the ground was absolutely disconnected. Some of you, over a certain age, you remember. We're fighting for freedom. We're fighting communism. The domino theory. We got to do this. If we don't fight them in the streets of Saigon, we'll fight them in the streets of Mexico City or the streets of El Paso or the streets of Chicago. You all remember this. Some of you. Same thing in Iraq. Same filthy, murderous lies. Same universal soldier. American. Young. Unsophisticated. Naive. Looking for an education. Looking for a job. Winds up in Iraq. Being shot in the back of the head at close range while he's waiting to buy a soda pop. That's what the Bush crime family has done, and the Chicago Tribune has the gall to say these Americans died for our freedom? Damn them. Damn the Tribune. There is not a single one of the 200-plus dead Americans in Iraq who died for freedom. Not one. And you know it. You know it as well as I do. You know why they died. You know. Because Bush and his gang are insane. And they are killers. And in Bush's own words, God told him to attack Iraq. Now, even Nixon wasn't this crazy. Even Johnson wasn't this crazy. Freedom my ass. Not a single death in Iraq of an American soldier had to do with our freedom or their freedom. Not one. And for Christ's sake, be man enough or woman enough to accept that truth. Just accept that truth. Now, you can debate until hell freezes over about what they really died for, but for God's sake, don't buy into this filthy, degenerate lie that 200 American soldiers have died defending freedom. My ass, they have died defending freedom. They died so that the Bush crime family can have access to billions of barrels of oil. That's why they died. And so that the Bush crime family can establish permanent military bases in that part of the world. That's why they died. You know it. I know it. And some of these young boys are starting to figure it out. The ones that go stand in line to buy a soda pop on the University of Baghdad campus and see their friend get a bullet in the back of the head from 2 inches away. They're starting to figure it out, too. makes me furious. All right. Robert is calling from Manhattan. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, you got me going, too.
Right.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah, I hear that.
I have a suspicion about Liberia and what's going on there. I'm thinking that Bush is willing to send our troops over there, not because Liberia necessarily has anything we need, though this thing about the oil is very interesting. I hadn't heard about that before. But what I'm thinking he's doing here is he's trying to buttress the lie that in Iraq he sent our troops over there to liberate the people. And I think he's trying to reinforce that idea in the back of people's minds because this weapon of mass destruction search isn't going too well for him so far.
There's probably a degree of truth as you're presenting it in what you're saying. I don't think anything the Bush crime family does is true, but you're right. It could be a diversionary tactic, but if you're not aware of the vast oil reserves in all of Western Africa, in the Western chunk of the country, that includes Nigeria, Liberia, Niger, Djibouti. There are several. I don't have a map right in front of me, but there are probably 8 or 9 countries right around Western Africa, where it bulges into the Atlantic, that are over huge reserves of oil and directly offshore of Western Africa. That's why we're going there. That's the only reason. You know, this thing about peak oil, we had from the wilderness Mike Rupert on a week or so ago. All the reserves of oil that are available have been discovered. We hit a peak. It's all down now. So what is critically important to the competing economies of the planet is to make sure that one controls those remaining reserves. That's what the Bush crime family is doing. Instead of focusing on alternative sources, instead of focusing on new technologies, these sons of bitches are saying, no, we're okay with just the oil. So Central Asia, Afghanistan, the pipeline, that's oil. Iraq, that's oil. Western Africa, that's oil. Destabilizing Colombia and Venezuela, that's oil. Screwing with the internal politics in Mexico, that's oil. That's what the Bush crime family is doing. Now, I swear to you, Robert, it's all about oil. Every single bit of this.
Right. Well, I believe you, and you know, I just wasn't aware of this, and I'm going to do some research on this now that you've given me the heads up. You know, but in a moment like this, I really want to thank Ralph for suggesting that Gore and Bush would have been the same as president. It really makes me remember my gratitude to the man.
Do I detect a little sarcasm?
Just a tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit. I hear you. Robert, thank you.
Sure thing.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you haven't done research, and we can't. I mean, Jesus, there's too much to do. There's just too damn much to do. There's too much to try to keep up with these bandits. But if you haven't done, I don't know what, Kathy, just type in, do a Google search. Do any kind of a search on West Africa and oil. And there are, again, I don't have a map in front of me, and I just have not memorized West African countries. Neither have you, because most of us Americans, Africa is the dark continent, right? We don't need to know. Remember the Jungle Jim movies. Remember the Tarzan movies. They all look the same, don't they? Bones in their noses and the huge Watutsi scream shields and jumping around. Right? Eh? While the rest of the world is civilized. Right? So we don't know anything about Africa. Nothing. Nothing. So maybe it is, you know, now that we have an administration that has decided, the Bush crime family, that has decided, well, that's the next place to lock down the oil supply is Western Africa. It's time for another crash course. That's one thing about the Bush crime family, huh? They are certainly helping us educate ourselves on geography, aren't they? I mean, how many of us paid a damn bit of attention to Afghanistan? How many of us knew where Turkmenistan and Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan and the rest of these countries? I can't, half of them you can't even pronounce. How many of us knew where these countries were? Now, I did because I had a sixth grade geography teacher who used to beat it into us. So maybe you did too. But she didn't beat into me the countries of Africa because it didn't matter. Unless it was Northern Africa. You see, Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia. Yeah, we knew about those. But dark Africa? Black Africa? Nah, you don't need to know about that.
Now I ain't no fan of Saddam Hussein. Oh, please don't get me wrong. If it's freeing the Iraqi people you're after, then why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price of oil. Don't give me
right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. And at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
Well, not for all of us, George. Maybe it's not positive news for the families of the dead soldiers who fought to secure those oil fields for you and your buddies, huh? Maybe it's not good news to those families. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
All right. Now, them 200 soldiers or 200 plus? We really don't know how many soldiers.
200 plus. I think it's over 200 Americans.
There's just been too many wounded over there that I don't think they'd tell you about what happens to them.
I don't think so.
I mean, but anyway... No, they don't. They're not dying for freedom. They're not dying. They're dying for oil, just like no more than the Vietnam veteran died for freedom.
That's right. That's
we
right.
died for. Well, I think I read it was for oil and for tin and for I don't know. So did several other different things.
And it was also to show the Russians or show the Soviets that we would put our young men. Into a fighting mode to stop them. And the weird part is that Ho Chi Minh was first and foremost a Vietnamese. He was a Vietnamese communist, but he had no truck with the Chinese. He had no truck with the Russians. I guess he went to school in Russia for a while. Went to school in Paris. But the Americans that died for a lot of different reasons, as you know better, a hell of a lot better than me, Joe, but you know better than me also, they didn't die for freedom.
No, they didn't.
No, they did not.
Most Vietnam vets know that now. I mean, they still some, but still believe it, but I don't know where they get it. I don't see, you know, I just see that they can't admit it to themselves.
And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, when you go through what soldiers who were in Vietnam went through, it's almost, I don't know how some of them can sit back and say anything other than, yeah, we fought for freedom. That's a hell of a thing to try to accept. Otherwise, Joe, you know that. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah.
So it's just a mind, I can't say that word on the air. It's a terrible thing. All right, Joe, let me put you on hold because you wanted to say something about your local Democratic Party, right?
Yeah.
And I know I got you sidetracked. Let me put you on hold to come back right after this break. All right, stay with us, folks. Quick break here. Back to Joe and then the rest of your phone calls. I'd like to hear what you got to say. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Banjila mm-hmm. is right, like cool. Right.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC yesterday.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The U.S. wants Liberian President Charles Taylor to leave quickly, but in a way that avoids chaos and enhances stability. That's how State Department spokesman Richard Boucher put the delicate situation in the West African nation on the day President Bush leaves on a week-long visit to the African continent. Liberia is not on Bush's schedule. Taylor, an indicted war criminal, has accepted an exile offer from Nigeria. Liberia has been racked by a civil war spanning more than a dozen years. President Bush is still thinking about whether to deploy peacekeeping troops there. A U.S. military assessment team is now on the ground in Liberia. An American military team flew by helicopter into Liberia's capital today. The team touched down at the heavily guarded U.S. Embassy compound in Monrovia. Troops slept out wearing helmets and flak jackets. United States Ambassador John Blaney says the situation in Liberia is very serious.
We'll be taking the team around to see various places where displaced persons and refugees are and what their needs are and what their situation is.
They're on a mission to see how best to bring stability to the embattled West African country. The 20-member humanitarian assistance survey team is seen as a possible step in the direction of a larger force as the U.S. debates whether to send peacekeepers into the country, which has been torn by nearly 14 years of violence. The voice on a recently released audio tape is most likely that of Saddam Hussein. That's what CIA officials are saying after analyzing the recording aired Friday by the Arab television network Al Jazeera. The agency spokesman Bill Harlow says the quality of the audio is poor, so they can't be absolutely certain it's Saddam. But an intelligence official says the rhetoric, style, and substance of the message is consistent with previous speeches from the former Iraqi leader. CIA officials were also unable to determine when the tape was recorded.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A traffic accident in South Carolina has claimed the life of a young Marine who was a member of the unit that rescued Private Jessica Lynch from an Iraqi hospital in April. Greenville County Deputy Coroner Kent Dill told the Greenville News that Josh Daniel Spear of Marietta, Georgia, was killed Sunday morning when the vehicle he was driving veered off the road and ran into some trees. The 21-year-old was en route to his fiancée's house when the accident happened. Holly Koop said Spear had sent her a letter from Iraq that said, "The first thing I'll do when I get back is to put a ring on your finger." Spear arrived at Camp Lejeune last Saturday and had been spending time visiting with family members. Spear's family says his plan was to make a career out of the Marine Corps.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them.
Yeah, see, they're having fun.
Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Surgeons in Singapore attempting to separate conjoined twin sisters have run into some trouble. A risky bypass has led to unstable blood circulation between the 29-year-old Iranian women. As a result, a hospital spokesman says the entire operation could take much longer than expected. Laleh and Ladan Bajani are joined at the head but have separate brains. Doctors began the first part of the potentially fatal operation yesterday by opening their skulls. That process took 6 hours because their bones were thick and compact. Surgeons are now in the midst of a second stage, which involves the severing of blood vessels and veins in their brains, which could take as long as 10 hours. Investors returned from the long holiday weekend in the buying mood today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average soared 146 points and finished at 92.16. The Nasdaq was up 57 points to 17.21. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 10.04. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past 11. We're at 800 Talk. Yes, we were talking with Joe here before the break. Joe, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, well,
now you wanted to bring up something about Democratic.
About the redistricting.
Oh yeah,
in Texas.
In Texas, huh?
Yeah. Some time at least, which it comes straight from the White House.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it passed the House, and you probably read about that.
The Texas House.
Yeah, it passed the Texas House, and but it's got to have 2/3 in the Senate. From what I read, I read that yesterday or today, and unless the Democrats go along with it, they don't have a 2/3. But I read that there might be some Democrats that vote for it, which I can't figure out, which that's pretty... Sound like some Democrats down here in Texas.
Well, I can't either, because the Democrats would be legislating themselves out of existence.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's down here mad. Everybody's down here is mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the people I know that voted, even the people that I know voted for Bush, or even I see editorials in the paper about it that are some reason Bush on the war, but they're mad about redistricting.
Well, have you noticed, and I'm sure you have, Joe, that Republicans, they don't play by the rules. If it's a matter of redistricting, which by custom we do every 10 years, because, after we take a census, because to do it otherwise, if we did it every time a new majority took over in these local state houses, folks wouldn't know what the hell district they'd be. It would just be utter confusion. But what the Republicans do, they don't play by the rules.
They make up the rules as they go.
Right. And the rules that they make up don't benefit the country, don't benefit the state, don't benefit the county. The rules they make up only benefits the Republicans. And if anybody else benefits as an unexpected consequence of that, well, fine. But Republicans are evil people. They're stupid. They're immoral. They are unethical. They're killers. They're liars. And they're cheats. All Republicans, whether they're in the United States Senate, the United States House, the Texas, I don't care what legislative body they're in, they're all liars and killers and duplicitous and immoral. I don't care if it's Olympia Snow or if it's a guy down the road from you who votes Republican, Joe. They're all sons of bitches, as far as I'm concerned. Every single one of them.
Well, Mike, I feel the same way.
I know you do, Joe. Joe, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right,
you have a nice evening. See, I knew Joe would say he felt the same way. But that's the truth. Every single Republican, and I've got Republicans in my family, and if they're listening online tonight, you folks know how I feel. You know how I feel, and I'll go down with this. Republicans, I'll make one little caveat, and that is there are some Republicans who are still stupid and don't understand what their party and their elected officials and representatives truly represent. So I'll cut y'all a little bit of slack there. And I guess that's mostly targeted towards my family because, you know, I've still got Republicans in my family. I think. Not many. Maybe one or two here and there. But Republicans are liars. They are sneaky. And you know, the one thing you hate more than a liar is a sneak. You know it. You know it, right? The one personality type that you hate more than a liar is a sneak. And when you put them both together, a liar and a sneak, oh my God, huh? Right? And a cheat. And somebody will pat you on the back with one hand and pick your pocket with the other. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Republicans. They are immoral or amoral. They have no morality. They are unpatriotic. They hate America. They hate the real America, which is the people who make up this country. They hate gay folk. They hate people of color. They hate women. Oh, Jesus, do they hate women, especially uppity women. They're eaten up with hate, all Republicans, from Sean Hannity to Olympia Snow, to the person down the street who votes Republican, to the guy on your shop floor, to anybody in my company that happens to be a Republican. They're poison. They're anti-everything. Don't trust them. Don't turn your back on them. And for God's sake, get them out of office. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I was going to ask you about Congressman Rush Holt. I finally got in touch with that. I had trouble.
With who? I don't know this person.
Congressman Rush Holt?
Nope, never heard of him. Is he from Kentucky?
No, it's on your website.
Russ Holt, H-O-L-T?
Rush Holt.
Don't know him. It may be on my website, but
he's the guy that's trying to have your vote counted. He's trying to pass. He's a congressman out of New Jersey.
Okay, I'll have to check my own website. Remember, you know, I have a webmaster, and I have people who post stuff there, and Kathy does a lot of work there. Very seldom do I have time to go there, so I'm not sure who this is, but I will check it out.
Okay, well, I encourage everybody to email him.
His name is Holt, H-O-L-T?
Yeah, it's on your website.
Where is it on my website?
It's MikeMalloy.com.
No, I mean where at on my website?
Right on the far right column.
Main page.
Main page.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. Jeez, boy, do I feel like a dumbass.
I guess we all know why Bush went to Africa, right? He's gone to find Bono to kill him.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and then he's going to tell us what all the Southern Baptist ministers told us in the past growing up, that it's a taboo in Africa to wear a condom that they might get evil spirits or something.
Yeah, white.
I had a minister tell me that.
I'm not surprised. White fundamentalist preachers in the United States, and not just the United States, probably in the UK also, have said the most outrageous stuff about black Africa. And there's another reason, though, I think, possibly, that Bush is there, and that's to protect Pat Robertson's interests. Remember, Pat Robertson has been doing business with Charles Taylor in exploiting Liberia, and not just Liberia's, but other countries' diamonds. Pat Robertson is going to roast in hell for 10 eternities. He presents himself as a man of Christ, and he's a thug and a bandit. But Robertson and Charles Taylor have a long history, and Pat Robertson had no problem doing business with Charles Taylor while Charles Taylor was slaughtering his own people. And George Bush, of course, thinks that Pat Robertson has a direct pipeline to God, different from George's direct pipeline to God, but one nonetheless. So there's also that element. You and I will never know. You and I can only speculate. And the more we educate ourselves on this stuff, the better we can speculate. But we'll never know what goes on in the squirming, maggot-infested minds of people like George Bush and Pat Robertson and Charles Taylor and Saddam Hussein. We have no idea.
Yeah, so you really sent on the pessimistic side tonight. You really think Bush is going to win 2004?
I hope he doesn't. I'm just the point I was trying to make. If this is like 1972, that says nothing about the Democratic candidate. I don't believe that because Kucinich or Dean or somebody like that is more of a Democrat than, say, Lieberman or Edwards or whatever, that's going to translate into the kind of ass-whipping that McGovern got at the hands of Richard Nixon. The point I was trying to make is that as sick and filthy and criminal as Richard Nixon was, George W. Bush is worse by a factor of about 20. But the American people are supporting him, just like the American people supported Nixon. So if history, history repeats itself first as tragedy, then as farce, or if I got it backwards, and if that's the case, and history does repeat itself, and we're stuck with another 4 years of Bush, just remember, Nixon didn't complete his second term.
Right. So. Well, you know what I didn't realize was that Kucinich hasn't officially announced his candidacy yet.
Oh, I think he has.
Well, he's
filed. No, he's filed papers.
He's going to come out and announce and all.
Oh, you mean make an official public
announcement?
Okay, well,
it's going to be a big whoop-de-doo and all that.
Yeah, we'll certainly try to get that one get a recording of that. Patrick, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, as far as why the guys are in Iraq, there's three simple reasons: corporate greed, corporate profit, corporate control.
Yeah, okay.
And that pretty well covers everything. because the corporate structure is controlling everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's money to be made someplace, they'll be there. By the way, also, they keep pushing Dean, the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that Dean, to me, is just late Republican. Because he's for NAFTA, he's for the death penalty, thinks that Iran is a real threat, and he doesn't want anything to interfere with Israel. And those four things alone, and I'm not saying that, we should go and destroy Israel. Don't misunderstand me.
I understand.
But those four things alone, Kucinich, it would be great to see him in there. But the Democratic Party leaders are doing everything they can to keep Kucinich from gaining any real power base.
And Dean.
Dean has got more than going.
What I'm saying is the Democratic Party leadership is trying to make Dean and Kucinich look like a couple of apostate, off the chart, lead the Democratic Party to chaos candidates. That's what they're trying to make both of them, which is a joke, because you're right about Dean insofar. I wouldn't call him necessarily Republican light. I have a lot of people listening to this program who support him. All I would suggest is that people do what you've done, and that is check the man's record. I've said that before. He's got position papers out there, both Kucinich and Dean. They both served in government. All these candidates have served in government. There's a track record of what they voted for, what they believe in, what they stand behind, what sort of administration they might put together. And as far as Democrats, I'm just saying check out your candidate, and if he's the candidate or she's the candidate you want, then back him to the hilt. Back him to the hilt.
See what Congressman Sanders is doing?
What?
He is introducing a bill. Of course, it probably won't go anyplace, to set back the FCC rules to what they were probably 20 years or more ago.
Yeah, I think there's some bipartisan support for that one. Hey, John, thanks. Here's the break. I appreciate your call, sir. You have a nice evening.
You got to stand for something, or you fall for anything. You got to stand for something, or you fall for anything.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
About
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Exactly how I feel. He said, boy, I've been in your shoes.
24 past the hour. Did you see this little item? John Layman, who was Ronald Reagan's Navy Secretary, and he's also one of five Republicans on the 10-member 9-1-1 Independent Commission that's investigating the attack on this country on that date and the failure of the leadership of this country to, if not protect us, certainly warn us. Well, John Layman, who is one of the Republicans, former President Reagan's Navy Secretary, told Time magazine that he wants both President Bush and former President Bill Clinton to meet with the commission and discuss matters that could include what their individual administrations knew about the Al-Qaeda terrorist plots and what was done to combat them before the 9-1-1 attacks. Now, think about that for a second. You know, I don't know. Layman is a Republican, so he's immediately a thug, a punk, a liar, a cheat, a thief, and a mass murderer. But the fact that he brings this up, that, hey, we want to question both George Bush and Bill Clinton. I don't think Clinton will have any problem answering the questions, but can you imagine George Bush being questioned? How many attorneys would George Bush have to have surrounding him before he could answer the questions? Now, all the right-wingers can make jokes about, well, it depends on what the definition of the word is. How about the definition of the word lie, you bastards? How about the definition of the word kill? How about the definition of the word treason? How about the definition, oh, never mind, you get the point. Now, with this commission, with this September 11th investigative commission evenly split between Republicans and Democrats, you can just about bet that it's a certainty that Clinton and Bush are going to be called to testify. The Democrats will certainly go along with either one of them being called to testify. The Republicans, while they may be reluctant to bring too stupid to state his own name under oath into the commission hearing, the Republicans would like to see if they could griddle Clinton a little bit. So, there is no doubt in my mind that Bush will refuse to appear before this commission, and they will use national security, the last refuge of mass murderers who happen to be Republican, national security issues. So Bush won't show up, but I would imagine Clinton probably would. But former Reagan Navy Secretary John Layman says, I don't think any commission should ever formally call a president to testify. But I think it is very much in the country's interest and in both President Clinton and President Bush's interest to meet directly with this commission. Ari Fleischer said the White House has been and will continue to cooperate with the commission, which is a lie. The White House has done everything to make sure there was no commission. Okay, but again, Ari Fleischer is filth and slime from the deepest pool and pit latrine of hell. He's a liar. He's a Republican. He's a spokesman for George Bush. So obviously, everything that comes out of his mouth has to be, by definition, a lie. The Bush administration has not cooperated at all. You know that. I know that. Even mass-murdering Republican liars know that. But interesting that Bush and Clinton would be called to testify before this commission. I'll bet you my job. I will bet you my job that George Bush will refuse. All right, quick break. Then we'll be back. and directly to your phone calls. Stay with us.
The fact is there's these people that they said they had to bomb, when in fact it was just a wedding. The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is in Afghanistan more died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh, here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. The Department of Energy plans to build a new facility for the production of plutonium cores for nuclear weapons. But critics charge that the weapons of mass destruction would pose a threat not only to those countries that U.S. missiles are aimed at, but also to the workers who would build the nuclear bombs.
Workers during the Cold War are getting cancers in the 80s and 90s and still dying from cancer.
Dr. Arjun Makajani is president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He points to a figure in the facility's draft environmental impact statement, which states there would be 0.22 cancer fatalities per year at peak levels of production.
0.22 cancer fatalities per year means one every 4.5 years. It doesn't mean that after 4.5 years somebody will die. It means that there will have been enough radiation doses that over a long period of time, you know, with cancer latency period, that the cancer may not develop for 10 or 20 years.
Dr. Makajani says those figures mean 9 workers would die of radiation-induced cancer over the projected 40-year operation of the plant. The Department of Energy will be accepting public comment on the proposal through August 5th.
Thousands of South African asbestos miners, many of whom are now dying because of their exposure in the workplace, were supposed to share in a $35 million settlement from 2 mining companies who didn't provide the workers with proper breathing protection equipment. But now the largest of the 2 asbestos companies is threatening bankruptcy and says it can't pay. In response, a judge has reduced the settlement award by 2/3, meaning that each sick miner will get about $1,600 instead of the $4,600 they'd been promised. More than 700 of them have died since the case began 4 years ago. The next of kin will get those payments instead.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There is a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
27 before the hour, 800-TALK-YES is the number. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. Long time no call.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I tell you, we had a good weekend. Have you ever been out here and seen the San Francisco Mime Troupe?
This is going to be very strange. I've been to San Francisco several times. The Mime Troupe came through Atlanta 12, 13, 14 years ago, and I actually had them in the studio on radio. They were still able to do their theater on the radio and do it effectively. But I've seen them in live performance. They're a great group.
Sure. Yeah, if the listeners aren't aware of them, they don't use mime. They're not...
They have nothing to do with mime.
Yeah, I think they use some ancient definition of it that doesn't include silence.
Right, exactly.
So it's all song and dance. It's great. They have this
very, very political, very left-wing, very out there on the cutting edge. At least they were the last time I saw them. I'm sure they still are.
Yeah, they kicked off the season on the 4th of July, and this is the performance this year is on... post the invasion of Canada, and so
oh, God,
and the undisclosed location of Cheney is up in the eyeball of Mount Rushmore. He's up in Teddy Roosevelt.
So oh my God!
Anybody has a vacation to spend this year, they can go find Cheney. Hey, I wanted to. There were a couple of different things I wanted to mention. You know, you were talking about the horrors of war there, and I read a post just a short while ago about. Apparently, some of the widows of this Gulf War business are being evicted. There's a woman who was her husband was killed. She was living on a base. I believe this was in Great Britain, not in America.
Mm-hmm.
But she got evicted within 3 days.
Yeah, I read that story. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's miserable.
Yeah, we're more subtle back here. What we do back here is reduce tax benefits for the wives and the children of servicemen. What we also do is cut back on the amount of money that goes to federal money that goes to school districts that are comprised of primarily military families, and therefore they don't have the broad-based tax base that other communities do. So the Bush administration, the Bush crime family, they're more subtle in the way they torture the next of kin or the family members of soldiers, but they still do it.
Right. And this is this leads into a second aspect of this. When you think about Bush and his whole chosen of God routine,
right.
You know, this is his plausible deniability.
Right.
He's going to be able to claim some sort of insanity, just like Ronald Reagan did, and that's how he's going to escape prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
And so, based on this, he's also able to turn that into. You're probably well aware of some of these religious frauds that tell everybody that the end of the world is nigh,
right.
And give all your stuff to me,
right.
And then as soon as the end of the world doesn't happen,
right.
And you try to get your stuff back, well, gosh darn it, that doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at this. Here they've got everybody terrified that the end of the world is coming,
uh-huh.
and they give up all their stuff. They, the end of the world's coming, I might as well spend it either in hard drinking or I'll give away all my stuff to the church.
Right.
And gosh darn it, just turns out that there's somebody waiting in the wings to scoop it all up.
Isn't that always the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, if anybody's got any relatives out there that are boneheaded hard on the religious aspect of them, inch by inch work them on this angle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't any grade A movie, but there was a movie that came out about 10, 15 years ago called Pass the Ammo, and it was about a couple of brothers who saw their mother give away everything to the Jim and Tammy types. And when they tried to get it back, you know, they got bum rushed out of the audience of
uh-huh.
the church. And so, you know, the point was how do they get it back from these crooked churches? So look at Bush, look at his apocalyptic Christians con job, and it gives us some avenues for how to work this new Fourth of July.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I understand what you're saying. Hey, thanks, David.
Hey, no trouble. By the way, I was just leaning on, as we're talking religions, I just happened to think, too, Jubilee. Are you familiar with the concept of Jubilee?
Yes, I am, yes.
I've been pushing this lately. I call up a lot of radio shows, and every one of the religions, the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews, all believe in Moses. And Moses is pushing this the idea of Jubilee, which means you cancel all the debts every right. few years.
Right. Every 7 years, I believe, is part of the Jewish tradition.
Right.
But we have plunged so many nations into this impossible debt, the idea of debt forgiveness. It makes sense.
Well, right. And when you look at this whole idea that we're allowing these major corporations to get 30-year packages for rebuilding Iraq or 50-year mm-hmm. packages or whatever, that really, we can negate everything. But if George Bush wants to play this plausible deniability of him being a religious man, let's force him to get us a Jubilee.
You know,
and if it's not going to happen, we'll know how religious he is.
Yeah, right. I think we know already. David,
all right.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Appreciate you checking in. Brian is calling from Richland Hills, Texas. Brian, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, I'd just like to first say thank you for your show. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, my pleasure.
And I just wanted to raise a couple issues regarding the 9/11 commission that was set up.
Okay.
First off, I question the efficacy of the commission based on, number one, the funding for the commission.
Right.
And number two, the veto structure of the commission, wherein you have five Democrats and five Republicans. All it takes for a veto, like if they want to bring in a questionable witness,
mm-hmm.
the five Nazi fascist Republicans can say no, and it won't
right.
happen.
Right, absolutely.
And when you only get $12 million,
yeah.
I mean, appropriated for this commission, and you had $57 million appropriated for the Whitewater investigation against the Clintons?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's very the transparency here is almost blinding. The Bush crime family is no more interested in finding the root problems that resulted in 3,000 Americans and foreign nationals dying
right.
on September 11th, and they are flying to the moon without a space shuttle. These people, it's a smokescreen. It's to obfuscate. It's like the Warren Commission was to the Kennedy assassination. So the truth, and I've said this on the program, it's not my kids that will find out the truth. It's not your kids. It's not our grandkids. It's maybe great-great-grandchildren someday in the far distant future when truth and honesty once again has some cachet that folks will understand what really happened.
Right, when the Vulcans come and save us.
Right. That's,
yeah, and another thing.
Right around then.
Why would this administration be reluctant to have this investigation if they weren't somehow... You know, if they somehow had some information where this could have been prevented, and why would they not want a full-scale investigation so something of this magnitude won't happen again against our citizens?
Well, bingo. You just won tonight's $25 jackpot. Obviously, they don't want the investigation because they're in it up to their eyeballs. They are either responsible for it in a complicit way,
right.
or they're responsible for it in a manner that would indicate that they cannot govern. You know, the Clinton administration handed off to the Bush administration all sorts of information on Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda,
right.
bin Laden. But because it came from the Clinton administration, these arrogant sons of bitches in the Bush administration just tossed it in a corner.
Yeah, I think Condoleezza flushed Sandy Berger's paper down the toilet.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And didn't they even put in that report that Al-Qaeda may use airplanes as
yes.
targets against American land
yeah,
marks
the,
and
yeah,
buildings?
Right. The Bush administration knew what the plans were. If they did not have a specific date when the attack would occur, they knew what the plans were, and they did absolutely nothing to alert or warn the American public or put the military on alert.
Right.
Take a look at the timeline of September 11th, 2001. And if this had been a Clinton administration or any Democrat administration whatsoever, that president already would have been impeached and removed from office.
Right, and he's reading a goat story 30 minutes after the first World Trade Center building was hit.
Nice, huh?
I mean,
Brian, I'm glad you found this program. How did you find
it?
How did you find it, by the way?
My friend told me about you, and I listened to a program at his house one night, and I was like, thank God there's somebody who thinks like I do in this country.
Well, now you can, I just clue you in here in case you don't know, we've got a great website that you ought to check out, MikeMalloy.com. But also, if you miss the program when it's live, there's another website put together by one of our listeners in Elgin, Illinois. His name is Ben. He's our bureau chief up there. It's the WhiteRoseSociety.org.
Right, I'm familiar with that. I actually was listening to some of your recent archives there.
Right. Well, he archives a whole 3 weeks of programs, so check it out.
Wonderful.
And please pass the word on, Brian.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, pass the word on. Pass the word on. Michael Savage is on 300 radio stations. We're on maybe seven. Pass the word on. Glenn is calling from Milwaukee. Hey, Glenn.
Glenn? Yeah, this is Glenn again. I'm calling about your website and the caller earlier in the program who brought up Rush Holt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Rush Holt.
And I just want to mention on your website under action alerts, it says make sure your vote is counted in 2004.
Oh, okay. This is something that either my webmaster put up, Mark
sure.
Marshall, bless his heart, or
sure.
Kathy put up, bless her heart. There's so many nooks and crannies on that website. I'm remiss, but I don't check it all out. Well, I'm glad you cleared it up for me because I wasn't sure what Patrick was talking about. You've cleared it up.
But I actually spoke to my senator, Russ Feingold, and who says Rush Holt is a very good man, and he's a Democrat from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you a little background on what he has wrote in his bill, it's requiring all voting machines
to have a paper trail.
To have a paper trail.
Right.
Because a lot of the major voting machines are owned by Republicans.
Oh, boy.
Including Chuck Hagel, who threatened legal action for the Hill, exposing his ethics violation.
They always threaten legal action, don't they?
Yeah, but the Hill had enough guts to run the story anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And Diebold gives 100% of their donations to the Republican National Party.
Right.
And it's proprietary software, and the average citizen cannot look at this software.
Isn't that nice?
It is.
Yeah.
So it's something that everyone needs to contact their congressman to ask them to support Congressman Holt.
Yeah, I'm glad you cleared it up. And again, I feel like a moron for not knowing what's on my own website. But unless there is a
It's a complicated issue, though.
Yeah, but unless there's a verifiable way of understanding what happens in this election coming up in 2004, the Republicans will steal it. They will lie. They will cheat the company that produces these machines. We've talked about on this program is owned by a group that is associated with the Christian Reconstruction Movement, which makes Pat Robertson look like a flaming liberal. The Christian Reconstruction Movement would execute, for example, adulterers, gays. They make Saudi justice look like a walk in the park. These are biblical fundamentalists who are literally choking to death on their religious fanaticism, and it is they that own the company that produce these voting machines. So unless there is a way to make sure that these cheating, lying Republicans don't steal another election, we've lost it already. We've lost it already, unless there is a way to keep them honest.
Well, the Congress has opened up a lot of money to buy new machines with the Help America Vote Act, the HAVA Act.
Mm-hmm.
And within the next year or so, it's going to be critical that people stand up in front of their representatives and demand, you know, a paper trail.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to have more elections possibly stolen.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you cleared it up, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, on the main page, MikeMalloy.com, on the right there. Kathy, either you or Mark put that up, and bless you for it. I don't know which... Oh, my gosh, here's Tracy that we left hanging on Thursday until she finally gave up. Hey, Tracy.
No problem. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I just wanted to comment. You know, the thing is, and I'm speaking, frankly, now as I'm going to weigh in as an African-American, a black American, this is a Karl Rove show.
To send a Bush to these five.
Yeah.
You know he's not. He is disrespecting to a tremendous degree Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela.
He's
How
not.
Can you not go without seeing Nelson Mandela?
Right. Now the Bush, both Bushes and the Reaganites and all these people are in power now, would have been very content for Mandela to have stayed in prison until he died there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Dick Cheney.
They
were supporters.
Who voted?
Yeah, they were supporters of apartheid. They were supporters of Botha, the Botha government. So, and Mandela, of course, bless his heart, has called. You know, Mandela tells it like it is. They talk about
absolutely.
They talk about Bush telling it like it is. Well, Mandela tells it like it is where it concerns Bush, and Bush can't.
Kofi Annan,
and Bush can't stand that.
No.
So here they go. They're sending him. They're sending this dunce to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And no meeting, not even a courtesy call on Nelson Mandela.
No.
That'd be like somebody coming to this country and no courtesy call on George Washington.
I agree. every world leader lines up to see Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And so how can you not do that? So this is all about his reelection campaign. But what I wanted to the other quick point I wanted to make, Mike, is that Bush I'm waiting for the stories about how the Africans, whether there's a connection between how the Africans perceive Bush as opposed to how African Americans perceive him.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the stories I'm getting from some of the countries he's going to visit is they don't like him. They're already Senegal. Senegal, which is 90% Muslim. People of Senegal are already demonstrating in the streets asking this freak to stay away. So let me put you on hold a second, Tracy. We got a quick break here. We'll come back and finish up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever had. Redemption songs. Redemption songs.
Right now, it's nighttime. You're starving, and there are people at Denny's just like you. Except for one thing. See, they're not starving. They just ordered a plate of steamy little mini burgers. Oh. Here comes a big plate of hot, zesty nachos. Mmm! You know, there's one more difference between you and them. Yeah, see, they're having fun. Denny's, a good place to sit and eat.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hot topics are being discussed right now with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We are running out of time here. Back to Tracy, who's been holding on. Thanks for holding on, Tracy.
No problem. One other quick point, and I'll get off. You know, the United States has rarely, I would say almost never, given really any serious aid in terms of helping any nation on sub-Saharan sub-Saharan Africa that would benefit that country.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm skeptical about this. I understand why Liberians are clamoring for U.S. troops because of the relationship. You know, it being
right.
founded by former slaves. But I think that we just shouldn't trust the Bush administration about it. It's just not. There's something there.
Yeah, it's. You know? I have a problem, as you know, trusting them with anything. But I am very suspicious. And I hate to say this, mm-hmm. but I'm very suspicious of any white government who tries to operate with black Africa.
Right.
Asian governments, governments of South America,
yeah.
People of color,
yeah.
Is one thing. But an American or
yeah.
a European government
yeah.
doing business on any level with Africa, I'm suspicious because I understand the history. Now, you can imagine if I, a white American, am
mm-hmm.
suspicious, imagine a
yeah.
black African
right.
who understands his or her own history, who understands that the country he lives in is some construct put together by the Dutch or the French or the Germans or the Spanish or
the
whoever.
British and the French,
right,
yeah.
whoever
sure.
put the country together. There was no country called Congo. There
no.
was no country called Zimbabwe. There
no.
was no country called
Kenya.
Uganda. There
yeah.
was no country called Kenya. These places did not exist.
No,
so
right.
so the strife,
the Belgians, you know,
the strife and the
yeah.
death and the disease and the exploitation and the horror
yeah.
that has gone in Africa for 600 years. I don't know how black Africans can look at white anybody and say, well, look, this time they're coming around to give us
yeah.
a break.
Well, it'll be interesting to see the perception, the reception that he gets.
It will indeed. Know. Thanks, Tracy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. Brian is calling from Los Angeles. Brian, you know, I've just got enough time to say hi. Welcome to the program, and I hope you call tomorrow because we're flat out of time, pal.
Okay, Mike, thank you. I discovered your show this evening, and it's great. I'll call you back.
I hope you do. Thanks, Brian. All right, take care. Program engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker tonight, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Our announcer, of course, is Robin Bittman. Mucho thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive, who runs the website, MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Also, go to WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you missed the program, you can pick up 3 weeks of archives there. And Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Thank you, sir. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 1.